Good morning. Welcome to the continuation of our budget hearings for fiscal year 2012-13. Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin the hearing this morning, we lost a dedicated public servant over the weekend, and I want to acknowledge him and have a moment of silence. Jerry Shinnem, who was a 30-year employee with the county's Drug and Alcohol Services, passed away Sunday unexpectedly, and for the past many years, he has served as the counselor in the Wellness Center at Aurora Grande High School. And I want to offer our condolences to his family, friends, and co-workers in the county, and all of those who feel his loss, all of those he has helped over his many years of service to San Luis Obispo County. So let's honor him with a moment of silence, please. Thank you. And this morning, we are continuing our budget hearing, and we will be considering the contributions to other agencies, Fund Center 106. And Mr. Buckshy, do you have an introduction to that item?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. Good morning. Dan Buckshy from the Administrative Office. So today is a continuation of the hearing from Monday. And first thing I'd like to do is recap the actions that your board took on Monday. Your board adopted the proposed budget as proposed and made the changes as recommended in the supplemental budget, which increased appropriations with offsetting revenue by $121,672 and then decreased appropriations by $55,000 in the Public Works Internal Service Fund. That had the net effect of adding 2.5 positions as well. So that in total incorporates the actions that your board took on Monday. What we have this morning is our contributions to other agencies. As noted on the schedule, is first up this morning is our remaining item. And what we have planned is Ms. Schmidt from our office will give an overview of the process and of the recommendations, and then we will hand it over to your board for further deliberation.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Buckshy. Ms. Schmidt, would you like to describe the process that you used in getting us here this morning?
Good morning. I am Nikki Schmidt in the County Administrative Office.
Oh. So sorry.
I am Nikki Schmidt of the County Administrative Office, and I am here to present the fiscal year 12-13 Fund Center 106 contributions to other agency budget. The recommended $1.8 million budget will be used to fund district community projects, community-based organizations, preventive health grants, and other miscellaneous type grants expenditures. Funding for this budget comes primarily from the general fund and or tobacco settlement dollars. Overall, we are recommending an approximately $1.4 million budget in general fund support, which is a 1% increase from fiscal year 11-12 amounts. This increase is attributed to the decreased tobacco settlement funding and as well as adjusting for one-time revenue from the tax reduction reserve, which was approved in fiscal year 11-12. The CBO preventive health grant request for application was released in December of 2011. 58 projects were received from 48 local nonprofit agencies totaling $1.4 million in funding requests. All 58 projects are recommended for funding, and of those, 21 will be funded through tobacco settlement dollars, while the remaining 37 are funded through the general fund. The review committee, the CBO Preventive Health Grant Review Committee, evaluated the proposals on a variety of criteria, including those that are shown on this slide. 21 projects are recommended for funding in the preventive health grant category, and projects include programs for drug and alcohol recovery, domestic violence prevention and or counseling, mental health crisis counseling, and a variety of prevention programs for teens and children. And this level of funding represents a 4% decrease when compared to fiscal year 11-12 adopted amounts. Programs funded in the other agency request section of Fund Center 106 cover a wide range of services, and the recommended funding of $721,000 is essentially flat when compared to fiscal year 11-12 amounts. Included in this category are programs that require a public match, and funding for the Central Coast Commission for Senior Citizens, or the AAA, meets the Older Americans Act requirement of a 25% public match. Funding for the Arts Council is proposed to remain at fiscal year 11-12 levels, and this recommended funding is about $6,000 over the State Local Partnerships Program required match of $12,000. Funding for the County, State, and Federal Advocate is also part of this category and is recommended to be funded at $60,000 and $70,000, respectively. As shown in the previous slide, this category also includes the county sheriff funding for the Local Agency Formation Commission, also known as LAFCO, which is required by state statute. The fiscal year 12-13 proposed budget recommendation for LAFCO was $150,000, which equated to a 2% increase from fiscal year 11-12. The good news is that in April, the LAFCO Commission approved a budget that was essentially at fiscal year 11-12 amounts. And so, therefore, the county's required share of $146,673 resulted in an over budget of approximately $3,300. Beginning in fiscal year 12-13, the administrative fee for the county's deferred comp program will be budgeted out of this fund center. These funds were previously budgeted in the Auditor Controller's Fund Center. Funding for Action for Healthy Communities is recommended at $10,000 per year for the next two fiscal years and will be used for their biannual communities report. And District Community Project Funds is recommended to remain at fiscal level at fiscal year 11-12 levels of $23,438 per supervisorial district. Any remaining funds at the close of this fiscal year will be carried forward, and this action is consistent with prior years. 92 projects totaling $120,000 were funded in fiscal year 11-12, and projects included contributions to arts and music programs, children's programs, safe and sober graduation celebrations, fundraisers for various nonprofit organizations, tourist-generating community events, as well as community advisory groups. The programs shown on the previous slides account for $1.79 million in grant funding. There is $46,300 in unallocated funds budgeted in this fund center that is available for your board's use. And that concludes my presentation, and I am available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Schmidt. Questions from my colleagues? I see none, but let me take this opportunity to speak on behalf of my colleagues, and that is to simply thank you and all of those who reviewed those grant applications. It's quite a process. They devote quite a bit of time to it, make recommendations, and they do an excellent job for us. So please thank them for us.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay. I will now open the hearing to public comment on items that relate to the contributions to other agencies. We are not having general public comment this morning. We had that on Monday. And we will begin with People who have requested to speak on items in this Fund Center 106 will begin with Dr. Roslyn Caldwell, followed by Charlotte Alexander.
Good morning. And on behalf of the Bakari Mentoring Program at Cal Poly, we all wanted to thank you for recommending and supporting the program for funding, and we appreciate and are honored for such a gift. So thank you very much, and the youth appreciate it as well. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Charlotte Alexander, followed by Eric Greening.
Hi, I am Charlotte Alexander. I'm Executive Director of the San Luis Obispo County Arts Council, also known as Arts Obispo. I'm here today as your designee for recognizing the importance of these programs to the local community. Today, just very quickly, I'm delighted to announce to you that the relatively new director of the California Arts Council, Craig Watson, has accepted our invitation to come to San Luis Obispo County. So I'd like to ask you at this point to perhaps save the date on your calendars. It's Friday, July 13th. We haven't got any of the details yet. We just found out the date that he'll be able to come and see what all we're doing in the county in terms of arts programs. There will certainly be a public presentation period of time, and I invite each of you will be receiving an invitation to come and celebrate the arts with us and with him. And I look forward to sharing those details with you in the future. Again, thank you very much for recognition of the work that our volunteers, the many volunteers in the community, and the staff are doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Alexander. And do please come back and let us know when you get the final details on that event. Eric Greening, followed by Alan Reese.
Thank you. I am Eric Greening, and I, too, would like to thank you for continuing to support Arts Obispo and the arts through tough times. And I know each of you also reach into your community projects funds, and each of you, in one way or another, is a part of the cultural life of our community, and that is also appreciated. The artists, visual, performing, all kinds of artists that we have in this community are not going to suddenly get instructions from headquarters to outsource our arts jobs to another state or another country. They are here. They are fully invested in this community and in creating and embodying our local culture. And I appreciate your loyalty as a response to their loyalty. I also appreciate the direction that Arts Obispo is currently going. It's always been under very, shall we say, people-centered leadership, active leadership. The current leadership is finding new efficiencies. A lot of money that used to go into rent is going into programs on the street. And by moving to a new location, there are quite adequate facilities, but also more programs and more extension of those programs countywide. So we continue to value the county's partnership with the cultural community. And as you notice, people both local and from elsewhere coming for the various things that happen through the summer and fall, everything from Mosaic to the Paderewski Festival, and all of the expressions, the Plein Air Festival, all of the various things that bring people from far and wide and enrich the local people. We hope to see you at a lot of these events, and you will be rubbing shoulders with both appreciative locals and money-spending visitors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Greening. Alan Reese, followed by Anna Avin. Mr. Reese.
Hello. I'd like to thank you on behalf of our CEO of Community Action Partnership, Biz Steinberg, and our board chair, Fran Coughlin, for the generosity that this board has shown towards the programs that we run. As you all know, we are the oldest and largest, most comprehensive social and human services organization that is native to this county. We were founded in 1965, and we're very proud to have served the people of this county for the last 47 years. And as you also know, our mission is to provide help to those in need so they can move to a place of self-sufficiency. The programs that you're supporting through your generosity are very important to the people of this county. The first one, the Adult Day Center, which is located in Templeton, is the only provider, social provider of daycare to elders in need of help because they're having difficulty with self-care. Some of them may have cognitive issues, others may have physical issues. But the critical piece that you need to feel very good about is that this program never turns away anyone based on their inability to afford service. Everyone is welcome, and the great county transportation system that you provide for the disabled helps people get to that program countywide. So it's a wonderful program, and we thank you for your support of that. The Adult Prevention and Wellness Screening Program is another critical program that is countywide. We blanket the county with 17 mobile sites. These sites provide care Monday through Thursday during the morning hours through our nurse, Heather Murphy, and her staff to anyone who's uninsured or under insufficiency whenever possible. And again, your generous contributions enable that to happen. So I want to thank you so much for allowing us to continue to serve the people of this county. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reese. Anna Avon, followed by Carl Hansen.
Good morning. My name is Anna Avon, and I'm a volunteer member of Assistance League of San Luis Obispo County. We conduct Operation School Bell in the county. We've been doing so for the last 16 years. I want to extend a thank you to Ms. Schmidt and to the community-based organization grant review committee for considering us for funding for this year. The county has been a strong supporter of the Operation School Bell program for many years, and we appreciate the continued support and do appreciate that budgets are very difficult to meet in this particular environment. Just wanted to let you know that Operation School Bell serves school children in need in grades kindergarten through eighth grade. The children are referred to us by school personnel, social service agencies, and homeless shelters. We conduct outreach throughout the county for children that cannot come to our facilities, but we also maintain two clothing facilities, one in Atascadero and one in San Luis Obispo, that are distribution centers, or they're set up like little stores for the children to come in and select clothing. All of the buying of the new school clothing is done by our volunteers. We do not have any paid staff, so this is a 100% volunteer organization. So be assured that the money that goes to this program is going to be spent directly serving the people that we intend to serve. Last year, during the 11-12 school year that is just concluding now, 1,435 students in grades K through 8 received services through Operation School Bell, which was a record year for us. And we anticipate another record year this coming year. So thank you again for your efforts.
Thank you, Ms. Avon, for the work that you do for our youth. Carl Hansen, followed by Dr. Noristani.
Good morning, Chairman Patterson and members of the board. My name is Carl Hansen. I'm the executive director of the Food Bank Coalition. And I want to take just a moment to thank you all for supporting all of our human services organizations and the arts in San Luis Obispo County through very difficult times and hard decisions that you've had to make, and for recognizing the value of those partnerships and the quality of life that is so improved by working together with nonprofits and our county government. We at the Food Bank in 2011 and really in the time period sponsored by the grant that we received last year served about 44,000 people in our county. And we have the pleasure at the food bank of working in collaboration with so many other nonprofits that are represented in this room who have programs that help people in a great variety of ways, but also have food needs as part of their program offering. And so if it weren't for their help and the over 600 volunteers that we have in our county, we wouldn't be able to get the food delivered to people as we do throughout the county. It amounted to about 5.5 million pounds of food last year, 45% of which was fresh produce. We recognize, as all of our nonprofits do, the importance of the health of the people that we serve and the opportunity that they have to get on their feet or to improve their lives in whatever way they can if their bodies are healthy. So the quality of food that we distribute in the county is as important to us as the quantity of food. And we also recognize that the people we serve, who are low-income people, by a necessity of being able to access our services, are best served by having that healthy food accessible to them, and that they are part of a larger culture. So we like to partner with agencies that aren't necessarily focusing on human services, but impact the quality of life and the culture of the community in which we live. So we're involved in helping to develop the Food System Coalition, for example, which is bringing people together to talk about how we can better improve access to healthy food for everyone and help people to be inspired to eat healthy and to live healthy lives. And so I'm a very lucky person to be involved.
Patient to get in. Right now, patients have to wait about 4 months to get into the clinic. This is unacceptable for us as a physician, for me especially, and for the community. And I tell you why. 2 weeks ago, about 4 weeks ago, I saw an individual who, after seeing her, I diagnosed her with cancer. I didn't have to do anything else. She had to wait to get into my clinic for 4 months. She had lost her insurance about a year ago. From the clinic, I sent her straight to the hospital. She had operation the following week, and hopefully she'd recover. We could have prevented all that complication and spending millions of dollars if she had got into the clinic or seen somebody just 5 months, 6 months, 8 months before that. That being said and done, the funding that you guys have done have saved many lives. I could guarantee you, I could prove to you that every dollar that you have spent so far has saved many strokes, many heart attacks. We have seen patients with heart blood pressure over 200, blood sugar over 600, people who have rationed their medication. And guess who they are? The population we see is 76% is middle-class working people. Everybody has a job. They just can't afford it. About 30% of people who are in between the jobs or just lost the job, and then we have about 2 to 3% of homeless population. Shockingly, it sounds, we don't see that population. So our target was the middle-class people. And I'm working extremely hard, and the board is working extremely hard to expand the hours. And the only way we could do is if we have a little more funding. And I know times are tough, but I think healthcare comes first for me as a physician, obviously. But saving lives, there's no value. I mean, you can't put a price on saving lives. So hopefully in the next few months, try to raise enough money to hire a part-time nurse practitioner so we're open 5 to 6 days out of the week. So to decrease the length of people waiting to be seen from 4 months to 2 weeks, I think that is number one goal. Also, we see a huge number of people requiring dental assistance. Within the next 2 months, we're going to be opening the first free clinic, dental clinic for adults. The mobile eye clinic will be available hopefully 6 to 8 months if we get funding. We're applying for it. So, sorry, out of time. But thank you so much for everything you guys do. It's so important for you guys, and thank you for recognizing the program, and we're doing everything we can to improve people's life.
Very good. Thank you, Dr. Noristani. We appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Wade O'Hagan, followed by Rick London.
Good morning. I'm Wade O'Hagan. I'm president, board president of United Way San Luis Obispo County. Very grateful to everyone here for, and all the work they've done on the CBO funding process. We are respectfully requesting that our 211 Slo County CBO grant recommendation be increased to $50,000. Since 2010, when United Way and PG&E stepped up to keep the 211 Slo County program alive, substantial progress has been made towards increasing 211 Slo County's utility and sustainability. In brief, 211 Slo County is to social services what 911 is to emergency services. It is a free 24/7 confidential bilingual information referral line. By using this easy-to-remember non-emergency telephone number, callers receive needed information about health and human services from trained call specialists. One may also find by searching our local online database at unitedway.slo.org. As of October 2011, 211 serves over 260 million Americans, covering all 50 states plus Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. Currently, 92% of Californians have access to 211. Nationwide, call volume went from 7.8 million in 2006 to 16.7 million in 2011. As a result of robust software selection and data migration process to 211, Slo County is now retrofitted for the future, and our efforts are now in compliance for both of our national and state alliance of information and referral service organizations. As of April 2012, we have completed the migration of the 211 Slo County database to a state-of-the-art information and referral software program, which has been adopted by the majority of 211 California call centers. We are now live and in the process of updating agency information with the program's auto-verification tool and an application that forwards by email a link which affords our local agencies the ability to keep their current data current in a convenient and efficient way. In 2010, even with the previous software program that were more than 30,000 page views by 500 unique IP addresses at unitedway.org. We are now compliant with 211 state and national taxonomy, meaning our local program and services are classified by universal.
Be immediately updated in the event of a disaster in order to make timely information available through 211 Slo County. From September 11th to major fires, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, and chemical spills, 211 has evolved into a significant disaster communication resource. We are now providing 211 Slo County data to healthycity.org, which provides data and mapping tools to help users build a better community. The Healthy City team partners directly with organizations to develop research strategies and web tools to fuel social change. With our enhanced infrastructure now in place, we are poised for a threefold increase in call volume and website access over the next several years. As we continue to maximize use of resources, we are requesting that our 2012-13 CBO funding recommendation be increased from $25,000 to $50,000. We are pleased to have recently been recommended for a 50% increase in support from the Slo City Human Relations Commission, and we are continuing our efforts to increase support from other Slo County cities. In summary, we believe that 211 Slo County is positioned to be a valuable resource tool for San Luis Obispo County. We have become increasingly realistic about the unlikelihood of federal and state mandated funding. By 2015, we envision a baseline funding of $75,000 to handle up to 15,000 calls per year, with two-thirds of our budget continuing to come from Slo County. We are pleased to have the support of Public Health Officer Dr. Penny Bornstein, Sheriff Ian Parkinson, Health Agency Director Jeff Hamm, Social Service Director Lee Collins, Chief Probation Officer Jim Salio, and Chief Executive Officer of Community Action Partnership Biz Steinberg, to name a few. All agree that 211 Slo County is a benefit to the people of we all serve and a valuable tool to supporting their return to self-sufficiency. And we thank you for your consideration.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. London. Pearl Munak, followed by Bernadette Bernardi.
Thank you for this opportunity. I'm Pearl Munak, president of Transitional Food and Shelter. Thank you for your support in the past, which has enabled us to perform our mission. Our mission is to provide temporary emergency shelter to medically fragile homeless people in this county. Primarily, we provide shelter to patients being discharged from hospitals who are not sick enough to require hospital care, but they may need bed rest or rest to recover from an operation or a serious injury, or to rest after chemotherapy treatment, which makes them very weak, and that's very common. We have a lot of cancer patients. We operate entirely with an entirely volunteer staff so that we can spend our entire budget almost on rent. We have to rent apartments for the shelter of our clients because we do not own a facility. And we have, fortunately, our intake volunteer, our housing coordinator, has returned from maternity leave. She answers the phone with all the emergency calls, referrals, and at the same time is taking care of an infant and a toddler. And we have had the help of a student intern caseworker from Cal Poly, and this has helped us very much. We ask you, please, to adopt the recommendation for our agency. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Munette. Bernadette Bernardi, followed by Noreen Martin.
Good morning, Chairman Patterson, members of the board, and staff. I am Bernadette Bernardi, the Executive Director of the Literacy Council for San Luis Obispo County. First of all, I would like to thank your staff, specifically Jim Grant, for being accessible to actually hearing and understanding the Literacy Council's funding challenges and for being willing to try to assist in our efforts to keep the literacy program a viable one through this world economic crisis. I am very pleased to report that the California State Library has once again utilized their federal funds to provide our program and several throughout the state with emergency funds. I say once again because this is the third year that the California State Library funding has the ability to read, write, and speak in English greatly increases the chances for an adult in our county to communicate effectively and to have much greater job opportunities. Knowing basic English language skills allows families to function more successfully within their own households and within the community at large. The larger result will be a county with fewer people needing already overextended support services, employees who can read, write, and speak English at a productive level, and a community that can take pride in an improved literacy level. Learners come to the Literacy Council for many reasons. Some have learning disabilities, some have difficulties learning in formal school settings, and some are non-English speakers from around the world. We know that simply learning the alphabet, letters, and sounds is the very first necessary step to attaining financial stability and independence, eventually leading to the most empowering act of voting in a democracy for one's informed beliefs and values. Thank you.
Thank you. For point of clarification, Ms. Bernardi, the funding that you were granted from the state, does that require a local match?
It does.
Okay. And that was $16,000?
That was $16,000 for 4 months.
Okay.
Which is equal to what we received in better economic times for the whole year.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know you've been working very hard to get the needed funding, and we certainly appreciate that effort.
Thank you.
Noreen Martin, followed by Susan Warren.
Thank you. My name is Noreen Martin, and I'm being a professional volunteer today as the president of the Visitors and Conference Bureau. And I want to thank you. I can't imagine how difficult it is, especially after listening to every single person here. I just want to help in every way I can. The one way I feel like I can help is by bringing in tourism to this county, which is one of the major economic engines. And creating awareness with a diverse plan is the goal of our Visitors and Conference Bureau. One of the ways to do that, we learned through the EVC program, was incorporating a SLO unique cluster. This cluster was with Jackie Crabb from Farm Bureau, myself, and Stacy, who was in charge of the Paso Robles Vintners and Growers Association out of Paso Robles at the time. We realized that we had a vehicle in place that could incorporate a SLO unique branding process that brings awareness to our tourists, right, already formed, which was the Visitors and Conference Bureau. So we went right away beginning to attract the experiential traveler who enjoys our unique resources so that they could leave their money here, and not only in TOT tax dollars, which you know what that dollar is, and in the county alone in the last couple of years has been raised to 12.77%. I think overall through the county, it's been raised 8.5% through all the cities. I believe that to be a large sum of money that hopefully you can put into your bank accounts that can put back out to these people here. More, I learned inside my own company that I had head of household jobs, trailing spouse jobs. I had general manager positions. I had financial positions, director of sales and marketing. Yes, we have entry-level positions, but we also have managers that manage those people, so they're highly trained. And when I realized how many people's lives I could make a difference, I began very passionately to work on the Sunset Saver, the Central Coast, which is marrying yourself to a brand identity such as Saver, such as Sunset Magazine. It's an experiential event that brings us more awareness in our county. People are talking about us throughout the state of California and almost throughout the United States because of this project. We've had the Boston Globe write about us, New York Times last month. The North Coast got 8 pages in Sunset Magazine. If that had been purchased, it would have been $30,000 per page, unaffordable. This year, this month, you'll notice in the magazine itself, there was 4 pages dedicated to the North, to North County, and there was some dedicated to San Luis Obispo and to Pismo Beach. This is an ongoing relationship. This creating this experiential traveler leverages our local farmers, the wine community, and tourism, creating the personality of our county for our guests, that and they grow to admire SLO County, and it brands our county with the right personality coming in here that appreciates what we have to offer. So it's a full integration of marketing, branding, and awareness building. Last year we were able to do a give back to Lillian Larson, a 2-acre backyard farm, which continued to bring awareness to not only our
and help us keep our recovery community centers hanging in there. And I wanted to tell you that in the future we expect to begin to flourish. I was just at a conference down in Southern California this weekend on the recovery community centers as supportive services for the healthcare reform piece of integrating behavioral health, which is substance abuse and mental health, into primary care. And centers like ours, the Cambria Connection and North County Connection, are going to be replicated throughout the country. This was a federal program by SAMHSA, which is the Substance Abuse Mental Health Services arm of the federal government, and they're looking to they're putting together right now accreditation standards for these community recovery resource centers and also standards to certify recovery advocates that will be available to work with people that your primary care physicians, ER doctors, and federally qualified health clinics will refer back to the community for resources.
And we have a committee that's working from the Dr. Friess that we brought up from UCLA to speak to this integration of services. And that committee's just, we're working diligently to assess the needs in the county for the community and the kinds of resources we're going to need for community members in helping them access services. County Drug and Alcohol is very focused and very busy handling the mandated populations. And we're trying to reach the people that these physicians will see who are at risk of winding up eventually many years down the road after an expensive journey through the ERs and criminal justice systems. If we can help those people further upstream and help those families and people get access, we can save the county a lot of money. So thank you for your continued support, and we're looking forward to providing you even more resources.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Warren. Sarah Lawler, followed by Debbie Nicholas.
Hi. I'd like to thank the staff for the funding recommendations and for the city, the county supervisors for considering the recommendations. These funds will be used to provide role models for children here in San Luis Obispo County. And for the first half of the 2011-12 fiscal year, we've already served 237 children. Most of the children in our programs come from low-income single-parent homes, many of whom are minus an incarcerated parent. Based on the data we collect from children right here in our county, 82% of the parents report that their child's self-confidence is increased, 70% report improved academic performance, 78% report that their children are better able to express their feelings, and 73% report that there are improved relationships with their peers and with the other adults in their lives. So many of these kids come from homes that, without intervention, they will need other services as they grow up. So investing in a mentor is a more fiscally responsible choice than paying for services later on. Your staff handed out some books to you. If you could turn to page 15, I want to tell you a story about the little girl who's in that photo. Her name is Natalie, and when Natalie entered the program, she was so shy and withdrawn that it was causing her problems at school. Because she couldn't bring herself to participate in class or even ask for help or even speak to her teachers when she needed help. Her parents wanted to do what they could to help, but they were both working long hours just to provide the basics for the family, so they brought her to Big Brothers Big Sisters. We matched her with Big Sister Carissa, and at first, Carissa found it difficult to build a connection with this child, but after many afternoons of cycling, hiking, bowling, making art projects, and just playing on the beach together, Natalie began to open up to Carissa. And then she started opening up to other people. She even developed enough confidence to be the flower girl in Carissa's wedding, as you can see in that photo right there. According to Natalie's parents, the changes they've seen in the last 2 years have been profound. This little girl who used to be too shy to even speak to her teachers is now speaking up and actively participating in class. She's getting good grades and making friends with her students. Natalie is very proud of her big sister, Carissa, who's in school to be a teacher right now. So you can just ask Natalie what she wants to be when she grows up, and she'll tell you, I want to be a teacher just like my big sister. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Ms. Lawler.
Care that they need. So I just wanted to, again, thank you for considering supporting this vital program for our homeless patients, and we appreciate all you do at the county to help our homeless population. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Nicholas. Laura Edwards, followed by Gary Freiberg.
Good morning. I'm here to discuss with you one of our most basic needs as human beings, and that is a resource that we deal with at the resource conservation districts in San Luis Obispo County. Those needs involve the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the soil that we use every day to grow the food we eat every day. These are resources that the conservation district is poised to assist with in this county in the times of economic stress and regulatory burden that's coming down on our agricultural producers. Now more than ever, it is important for us to get in there behind the scenes and help those that are helping us get through every day of our lives. 75% or more of our county is in private land ownership. Of that, probably 90% is in agricultural production. So how do we improve water quality, water quantity, soil health, and air quality, except to work with those who are in charge of running those lands? And that's what the Conservation District does. This year, we have increased our request from 8,700 to 25,000 from this grant cycle. And what we're basically doing is covering 1.5 million acres in the county. So we went from less than half a penny per acre to about 1.75 pennies per acre with this grant increase. We ask that that you consider us this amount of money. We work with producers to increase the stability of their business in these times with business planning. We're offering them discounted technical services for engineering and other types. We are doing direct marketing with them for their goods that they're producing and the foods that they're producing on their lands. We're giving them expedited permitting capabilities through our Partners in Restoration program, where we're expediting getting them permits in 90 days, what would take them otherwise 2 years. And we're doing grant writing with them. We're doing irrigation evaluations to make sure that the water they're using is being effective in our county. I want to thank you again for everything that you've done. I know you're all well aware of what the Resource Conservation District does. I just wanted to get up in front of you today and thank you for all of your support.
Thank you, Ms. Edwards. And the final request to speak is Gary Freiberg. And Mr. Freiberg, I would ask you to direct your comments to contributions to outside agencies.
Okay. And in fact, I want to be part of the thank you group because I think it's such a great function of what you guys do. There is so much great work that is done in the county by these agencies, and their funding is very important. And so I would join with them in thanking you for funding. Everybody knows that in the last couple of years, there's been a lot of budget restraints, that times have been tough, that property values have gone down, sales tax revenues have gone down. And so I just wonder, in the future, for these agencies that are doing such great work, on what will we be able to tell them? They're all so gratified for the funding that you're able to do. And my concern is just, in the future, if revenues go down, if property tax revenues go down, because we know of the significant financial burden on the Los Osos residents and what that may do to property values and sales taxes. And so I think that when I've talked in the past about the economic consequences of the sewer project, that this is the kind of thing that I'm referring to, of hearing these leaders of these agencies come up and thank you for the work that they're able to do to the homeless, what they're able to do for so many other people. I'm sorry, Mr. Hill. I think that the loss of funding to these agencies is a intangible financial consequence that we can't put on the ledger. But I think that in your planning for the budget, to be taking into consideration, to anticipate, to be ahead of the curve, as it was, of what can be coming down the road, because I think that it's fair not only for the community of Los Osos, but I think that it's fair for these agencies that are the recipient of the funding. And it's very easy to take the congratulations and the gratitude of these agencies for what you're doing, and I think that that's something for you to feel good about. But to ignore what could be coming down the road is a falsehood, and it's cheating these agencies in future years of the work.
Community-based organization funding does, and it provides funds to nonprofit health and human service organizations for programs and services which are not provided by county departments. And the preventive health grants provides funds for programs and projects that promote the health and well-being of the community encourages behaviors and activities that focus on preventing disease and enable county residents to reach and maintain optimal health, stability, and independence. And those are the criteria used by the organizations that evaluate the applications. And I'm pleased that the county is able to make contributions to these organizations to help provide a better quality of life for residents in San Luis Obispo County. And I've always been a strong supporter of nonprofits because oftentimes, as it says, they provide services and programs that the county doesn't or government doesn't provide to really, again, better the quality of lives of our residents. And I appreciate all their efforts and am pleased to be able to allocate funds so they can operate more effectively and efficiently. So I will bring this conversation back to the board. Are there any questions of staff or comments from staff or not?
Question.
Okay. Mr. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Question to our auditor controller. A new item in our fund center here, taking up $35,000, is the county's deferred comp administrative fee. Could you elaborate on this and how this fits into this fund center as you see it?
Well, Jerry Seebach, County Auditor Controller, that I think, as Nikki had related, our department had been covering that cost for a number of years because it really didn't. It was kind of an orphan. The county, by its labor agreements for many years, has agreed to pay for the administrative cost of a the deferred comp program, which really benefits the employees by having it available. It's a pretty small amount considering the participation, which is in several millions. And when the budgets were being cut, you know, when they would come through and the administrative office would say, take 5% out of your bottom line, basically we had $35,000 as a non-controllable cost, so we had to take 5% of the 35% and find it somewhere else in our department, even though it really wasn't our responsibility. So we had been complaining about it for a number of years, and they finally took pity on us. It was the administrative office's idea to move it somewhere else. I think there's other places in the budget it could be put besides this. But I don't, Dan, I don't think anybody's program got cut, and we didn't get added to our program by that amount. It was a kind of a wash.
Yeah, what I would just clarify on that is that the expense and the general fund that used to go to the auditor's office to pay for this were both transferred, so it was neutral to this fund center. It did not take away from any other organization.
Let me also say that there is we have come up, and we've been working on this now for a couple of years, of another funding source for this particular cost. And I think we're very close to having that identified. It's out of some rebates that the deferred comp program gets from mutual funds and stuff that they purchase. So this may be definitely a neutral cost in the future. That's what we've been trying to do. On another track. And I think that's pretty close to being realized, maybe for next, maybe even for this fiscal year we're talking about right here.
Maybe even.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you want to follow
up?
Well,
I just, my thought is it looks like it's a neutral issue. The expense comes with the revenue to this fund center. I mean, my first thought is why didn't it go to the HR budget?
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, anywhere but a certain fund center that I know you know well. But I don't think at this level it makes a whole lot of difference, but it seems like an employee benefit expense that would rightfully go to HR.
There are a few different options, and that was one that was looked at. The thought on putting it in here is that if you look in the other agency request section, this captures a lot of our required matches. So if you look at Arts Obispo, that's a required match. LAFCO, some of the other state lobbyists which the state lobbyist doesn't really benefit one particular department. It's a countywide thing. And so that was the idea behind putting the deferred comp in here. It's not for any one particular department. It's a countywide issue.
Except this is really internal.
Office, if we get this additional rebate from deferred comp, then it would be truly revenue neutral, and the issue that Mr. Seebach noted wouldn't really be at play.
Yeah, the auditor's office serves employee benefits also by doing payroll services on behalf of all the county employees.
I think you should leave the money and just take the
expense.
Yeah, we could take the service and leave the money. And
I'll take the revenue, and you can have the cost if you want. Do it that way.
All right. Do we have sort of a consensus on what we want
to
do?
I've had my light on.
Why, no. Do you want to speak to this item?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Supervisor Meacham.
So if we don't take pity on you this year, Jerry, we can just remove this out of the fund center.
As long as you move the amount of general fund support with it, you can put it in my back in my budget, or you could put it in HR employee benefits. I think either of those make sense.
Because it, like my colleagues, it just didn't seem to fit here for me. But I mean, I pity you every once in a while, Jerry.
Right.
Not today.
Okay.
So
today's when we pity others.
You have a recommendation, Mr. Buckshaw, on how you might want to manage that?
Yeah, I mean, based upon what I'm hearing, I would recommend then that we move it back to the auditor's office, both the expenditure and the general fund support, and it would
be. But he seems to have rebates to cover, perhaps, the money.
That is something we're working on. If that does come through here, then it would be, we're negotiating with Great West, who is the provider of the deferred comp program, the administrator. And if the negotiations hold true and where we're looking to do this, then, yeah, the general fund wouldn't be necessary. So we could back that out at a later date.
Because I have great confidence in Mr. Seebach and Mr. Erb's ability to cover this.
To sort it out. All right. Any other comments or recommendations from my colleagues
on the board, and I especially like Mr. Gibson's idea about putting a number of those in a collective account where they all affect, they're all together. I think that makes a great idea and a great deal of sense.
Okay, we can certainly work on that. We want to try to do that this year, or is this year? No,
just come back.
Yeah. As we develop the budget next year. Okay, any other recommended changes, comments?
I do have a
look to my colleagues, Supervisor Meacham.
I'm a little stuck on the federal lobbyist money. Trying to get clear value out of our federal lobbyists. I know that over the past we've continued to work, especially with USDA and the others in that regard. But at this point, I'm having a real hard time finding the value of this $72,000. I do see the money coming out of the state lobbyists. We have a pretty good working relationship there. But I'm just trying to get some type of an idea of the success rate that we've had or have not with our federal lobbyists.
I'm happy to speak to that. I've dealt with our
with federal the Los Osos thing. I know.
Yeah.
I mean, once we get past that, is there?
Right. Yeah, I do believe there is, and that it occurred on our last visit to Washington. First of all, in understanding how the system of Washington works.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying that we understand it. I should have phrased it in trying to understand how that system works. It's been a tremendous education. I can give you a couple examples just in the last cycle. Things that, people always ask me, I come home from Washington, where's the duffel bag full of small bills that I collected there? Doesn't necessarily work this way. We are building relationships, though, with agencies that stand to benefit us considerably in the future. One of them is the Department of the Interior, which houses the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And you may well know that both individual constituents and this county and other jurisdictions as agencies have spent a lot of time trying to get permits from those federal agencies. You can add to that the Corps of Engineers, the National Marine Fisheries Service. And we have met with all those regulatory agencies and talked about our need for smoothing and streamlining permit processes as a matter of good, efficient government. In the last trip, we discovered within the Department of Interior a specific division that is devoted to local liaison, which is there expressly to make local jurisdictions work better.
in looking at projects around the county, I think the potential benefits range from work on the Arroyo Grande levees to other flood control issues that we have, to invasive species, which you know, have a nationwide impact. Entities like the Bureau of Reclamation are dealing with these on a broad base, and beyond the specifics, keeping track of how the allocation and regulation system of the federal government is evolving is another important aspect of what this entity does.
Well, I guess what I would be looking for in the years to come is some type of a reporting back that shows us this, that gives a clear explanation of where the benefit lies in spending money for a contract with these folks. I've worked with them as well on a couple of things. I know that there's some value there, but I need to see that value in writing in some type of a format that says, this is how you can quantify what your guys are paying for.
And we do get the periodic updates from Ms. Schmidt on the federal program.
They send a report out, but specific.
Yeah. If I hear you correctly, what you'd like is basically a year-end report on outcomes of what they did. And I think that's something that we could certainly work on.
Yeah, I'll follow up, too, by saying I do agree with Supervisor Gibson that it really does require a lobbyist to navigate the rather complex maze of federal agencies. With that said, you know, when we're looking at a budget tight as ours is, and a significant amount there, I mean, and maybe Mr. Bob's businesses and tourism, et cetera, so perhaps you could weigh in on that, Mr.
Yeah, Bob. Let me tackle them one at a time, if I could. With respect to the EVC, really the issue there had to do with timing.
Right.
They submitted a request for an additional $18,000 considerably late in the process, which didn't give us much time to it came in after we had already published the budget and presented it to the public. That being said, what I spoke with Mr. Manchek about was, let's take a look at, you know, what they're planning to use $18,000 for in a little more detail, what the results would be, that sort of thing, and then come back to your board after the new fiscal year. And he was quite okay with that. And that's what I would recommend, how we proceed there. A bit of a similar situation, a little bit different with the Visitors Conference Bureau. You know, to break this out a little bit, what we've done historically is provided about $275,000 in funding. Last year, $40,000 was added to help promote Parks, Golf, and Airport, which is again included this year. Where the request or the difference is $50,000 was added last year to help implement the economic strategy, as you noted. And we had noted that it was a one-time increase to help get that off the ground, to help get some programs in place. And where the VCB has come back here just in a few past weeks is that they would like that $50,000 again to continue with some programs. So it's kind of a similar take. I know Jim Grant had some discussions with Noreen Martin about how to proceed. And what I would recommend is a similar approach that we work through in a little more detail. We'd like to see the outcomes associated with the $50,000 for last year,
right,
and then come back to your board after the start of the fiscal year at some point. I believe at the same time as well, what Mr. Grant had wanted to see is that the VCB was still pulling together its budget for the upcoming year. Some of the contributions from cities and the other tourism districts was still a bit unsettled, and he wanted to see how that was coming together, to see how the county's piece fit into all of that. So I think you know, if we can get a little more information, we could come back in the not-too-distant future, but probably after the start of the new fiscal year.
Okay, so we'll come back to both of those. Great. All right, thank you, Mr. Buckshy.
Yes, and I have had conversations with Mr. Grant and Mr. Buckshy about those additional requests, and the recommendation was consistent. Let's get some more specificity on how that money is going to be used, and then we can move forward at another date to actually include that. Supervisor Gibson, I have you up.
I do have a couple others. Okay. I don't know if we're on topic.
Supervisor
EDC,
Meacham, did you want to speak to this particular item?
I have a question in regard to the amount of money that's available, and if we're removing the from the auditor's office, that can we come back at a later point in time to be able to put supplemental funding into certain things that have been requested? I mean, when would we be doing that?
I think, you know, with respect to these more business-related items, the VCB and the EBC, to use all the acronyms there, I guess, which we can come back. You know, the others, I think, are open for discussion now with respect to the fund center. You know, some considerations for how you want to fund similar to prior years is, Ms. Schmidt had noted, there's $46,300 that is unallocated in this fund center. And the reason for that is, just to explain, you may wonder why wasn't it allocated. We have a $450 million budget, and we get right down to the end. You know, we're real close, and there was a little bit more than $46,300 more than we thought. And so we put it in here, essentially, thinking, well, let's use it for this purpose.
One comment I do want to make is one of the organizations or one of the fundings that we do that I've seen incredible success with has been the Knorr Foundation. I got to say, I mean, that has just been a phenomenal effort that they've taken on. And if there's any way to increase the funding for that, after what I heard Dr. Norstani say about the time that people have to wait, if we can help with that, boy, I'm all over that, because they do an incredible job. So,
and I could respond to that if I might. I mean, sure. It's, you know, on the one hand, it's sort of a sad commentary that the healthcare system overall is so dysfunctional that we have to depend on the incredible energy of Dr. Nuristani and those who participate here. On the other hand, this is a remarkable human outreach, and I would agree with that. Knowing a little bit about the activities of the Knorr Foundation, I would be interested in exploring some different ways in which that entity can be the most effective that it can. And one of the concepts that I have picked up from through the first five commission is actually the concept of a healthcare navigator. For full disclosure, my wife, a physician, does volunteer some time at the Knorr Foundation, and finds that a lot of folks who are coming there are eligible for other medical programs, such as Medi-Cal and Medicare. And they may not know it, or they may have difficulty.
Last year, we allocated 75, and that was mid-year, really, so it wasn't a full year's worth of funding. But we have increased that currently to a recommended 100,000. But I'm certainly supportive of the work they do. I think it is important, as we found out with homeless services, too, to have somebody, a case manager or someone else, coordinating that effort so we utilize existing programs most efficiently and effectively. And so this kind of falls into that.
Certainly open to the discussion, and I think useful.
I do have more requests to speak. Supervisor Gibson, we're up to make some suggestions, followed by Supervisor Hill and then Supervisor Teixeira.
Let me put two others on the table that I'd like to discuss, and that's I want to get away from this alphabet soup and talk about 211 instead of all these alphabetic acronyms. I think there's been a tremendous evolution in 211 recently, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the future of that. And the other is the Literacy Council, which I think is we look at realignment, AB 109, and also our anti-gang coordinating commission's activities. I think our efforts at literacy pay huge dividends in terms of the kinds of rehabilitation and reentry programs. So those are two that I'd like to put.
Okay.
If you want to get them,
feel free. Let's do that now.
On 211, Mr. London, Mr. O'Hagan referenced tremendous changes in the software, and I've talked to them at some length about that to see that they are now being consistent with at least the bulk of the state and connected into a movement or a process, a service that does exist nationwide. Seems to me that an entity the size of the county, $470 million total budget, should absolutely support an information service that allows folks to get access to our services. Mm-hmm. Now, over the years, we have struggled a bit with the funding for 211, and I think 211, as it came out of being Hotline and through the efforts at United Way, has struggled a bit. But I think that we should look at their activities now, as they have recently converted software. I think we need to work with them to develop performance measures. There had been some question about their performance measures.
And what I would suggest is sort of we got a theme going here in terms of coming back to talk about this. I would suggest perhaps a $10,000 increase to $35,000 and a request to come back before the end of the year showing us what you know, the first quarter or the most of the first half of the of this next fiscal year has produced in the way of results, and talk about the performance measures. Let's get back before this board with some information from the entities within the county they talked about, public health, our county health officer, sheriff, health agency, probation. I want to hear from them as well. So if we could go from their $25,000 to, let's say, a $35,000 allocation, come back late this year or early next with a report and a plan for the future there, I think that would be money well spent.
Okay, thank you. And what we might do, I think, if we're going to take it program by program rather than have each supervisor speak to their menu and recommendation, let's speak to 211 and take a moment. And I'm certainly supportive of an increase, and I do think we need to see how the evolution to the new software and to the connectivity with the other state call centers is working out. This came to us, four or five years ago, and it came to us under I promise at the time that federal legislation was going to fund this, and so we've always looked at it until recently under the veil of, you know, let's cobble some funding together to get them to the point where state fund or federal funding is going to take it over. Well, I think we need to unmask that. That's not going to happen, and take a look at the value of this service to county residents. And we have had support from all of our public health agencies, including public health and public safety both, chiming in that this is a very valuable service, and I think that we need to look at it that way. And I am supportive of increasing funding. Last year we gave them $40,000. They requested $60,000 this year. The recommendation is $25,000 with some level of increase, which I would support. So that's my comment on 211. Any other comments from colleagues? Supervisor Teixeira.
Thank you, Supervisor or Chairman Patterson, and I too agree with colleagues about the support to 211. I think it comes the time now that we either fish or cut bait.
Ms. Bernardi and the Literacy Council to integrate that program into our AB 109 effort as an important rehabilitation component.
If I may, just to add to that, to provide a little bit of background on the Literacy Council. As you know, the state eliminated about its $40,000, and historically the county library budget has contributed about $27,000. The only reason that it was eliminated from the library budget was because without the state funding, we had heard that the literacy program wouldn't be able to survive on just the $27,000 that the county provides, so the library had eliminated it from its budget. If you were to add back, and what it did instead is put the money into its materials budget, which was essentially a bump up from what it had planned to spend, I would recommend your board consider, if you're going to add money back to Literacy Council, that you add it from the library budget. That's where it would have been, and the only reason it was reduced because the state funding was gone. Now that the Literacy Council has received some backfill of state funds, if you will, I think it's appropriate that the library would continue to provide the support from its budget.
And that would...
Well, my only comment there is in reading the library budget assessment, they have, over the years, cut back significantly on their increase to their collections. And so that was at a pretty huge deficit already relative to past funding. So we'll take that into consideration. Yeah, Supervisor Meacham?
Yeah, as a follow-up, I mean... That's kind of trying to be fair with everybody, too. If we're going to put it back into the auditor, put it back into the library, I have no problem with that either. But this program seems to be struggling all the time. I mean, we're always trying to figure out a way to make this program work. And I hope that we're getting to a point where we can see daylight at the end of this tunnel, because it just seems to me that every year we're struggling to try to make it go.
Yeah, well, I think it reflects...
what's happened on a greater scale or a larger scale. It's the same with the Arts Council. You know, we used to match what the state gave them. The state continually cut back the allocation to the Arts Council. We cut back proportionally, and it's similar with the Literacy Council. They were getting state revenue that they're no longer getting, so we need to decide whether or not we want to keep the program viable or not. But Supervisor Meacham, what I heard you say is that if we do provide an allocation to the Literacy Council, you want to see it come from the library budget.
I just want to see it come out of the library budget.
Okay.
I agree, and in the spirit of the action we took regarding the deferred comp, can we take $16,000, I don't know whether it's easiest, out of contingencies to fund that, $16,000 more in general fund support and a $16,000 expenditure to fund Literacy Council activities?
It's really your board's choice. We could do that. The other option, as I mentioned, was the materials budget was bumped up by $27,000. You could reduce the materials expenditure line item by whatever amount you decide to increase the appropriate.
Yeah, I would, you know, historically the library contributed $27,000, and if we could contribute at that level and then take it out of the materials budget, well, I have lots of books and periodicals that I can contribute to the library to help make up some of that. But anyway, that I would support a $27,000 contribution to the Literacy Council, taking it out of the materials budget of the library.
That's fine by me.
I'd really like to see something that's going to give me a little bit more comfort in the years to come that this program is going to keep moving where it's moving. Otherwise, we're going to either have to start figuring out some place in the budget that we continue to allocate funding for this out of the library budget. And if that happens, I can hear from our library director already.
Yeah,
that's going to go.
Just a question to Mr. Meacham: is your concern about its performance, or a concern about how we secure its funding?
Both.
Okay, so we're looking for performance measures.
Performance measures, as well as how we're going to be able to secure that funding as well.
Okay. And I believe they actually provided that to us. The Literacy Council did give us a report on what they've been doing this past year.
They do.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
Supervisor Hill, did you have anything?
Yeah, I have a small one since Mr. Gibson's spending all our money.
I didn't catch that.
I want to restore, you know, Pearl, me and I came up here on transitional food and shelter, which is an all-volunteer program that helps to provide vouchers and such for medically fragile folks. And I think we all understand that she got a ding of $4,000 as a penalty because she got her application in late. Very close, though, but not, I mean, like a day late, I think. And considering what they do and considering the amount and considering that it isn't all volunteer organization.
The Nora Foundation, and I would recommend that we have some kind of connection with the SynCal Health Organization, for which I sit on the board, to help them with that matter, and I will work with Mr. Hamm to make sure that that connection is done. The other one that I think does an outstanding job, and we cut them a small portion and they didn't ask for the rest of it, is the food bank. I think when you've got to feed the number of people and the numbers increase on a daily basis, and it's not only the homeless and the indigent, but the people that are working that are just not making ends meet, I would really like to see us make them whole and maybe even a little bit more.
If I could weigh in on that, I would be supportive of the food bank if we could, and I know we don't normally do this, but I'd like to see them, a program that they've been carrying out for quite a while, even back when I was on the board, is helping to enroll folks into the CalFresh program, formerly food stamps program. In our county, it's increasingly underutilized, and that's money that's there for people to use. It's money that that does help them purchase nutritious food that a lot of times the food bank can't purchase itself. And so I think that if we were to put more money, and maybe with the request that they help to put more money into that program of registering and keeping eligible people for the CalFresh program, it also benefits the markets, too, to have people coming in there and shopping at their markets and buying produce and fresh meals for their families. So I would support that with that proviso, and I think Carl would probably
They requested 100,000. The allocation recommendation is 92,000, same as what they received last year. And so you're suggesting that we bump it back to.
I could support that with a proviso that they put some of that emphasis into the CalFresh registration program. I don't know if you want to have.
Mr. Hansen, do you want to speak to that? I think there's some effort in that regard already, but if you would speak to that, please.
Yes, part of the grant that you are a part of the 92,000, I think 5,000 of it we dedicated to helping to support our half-time food stamp outreach person. She's very effective and can only work half-time, and we could supplement her efforts with someone else that she could supervise in at our food distribution sites, enrolling people in food stamps, which is a very effective way to do it, and that money would come back in many multiplications with those efforts to the county.
Very good. So you do think that that would be value added, if you will?
Absolutely.
Okay. With the proviso that extra 8,000 be put towards the CalFresh enrollment.
Yeah, we would just kick that part of the grant up to 13,000 from 5,000.
Great. Yeah. Okay, I think we've got agreement here. Thank you, Mr. Hansen.
We also get support from through the California Association of Food Banks, which is actually federal SNAP money, food stamp money, to support one-third of the cost. So this provides that matching local support as well.
Very good.
So, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other suggestions from my colleagues? I see none.
What is the reason?
So I will ask Mr. Buckshy to review the changes, if he would, and we can proceed from there.
Okay. So what I heard was to move the $35,000 from Fund Center 106, the auditor controller, for the deferred comp program.
Just liability, not the money.
That 211, we would add 10,000 to bring it from 25 to 35,000. Request they come back mid-year with an update on results and plans going forward. Literacy Council would be an addition of 27,000, and that would be funded via the materials budget in the materials line item in the library budget. Transitional Food and Shelter would receive an additional $4,000 from 16 to 20,000. And the food bank would receive an additional 8,000 from 92 to 100. So just to summarize that, in terms of Fund Center 106, we would be adding 22,000 and reducing that from that 46,000 that's available.
The 46,300 that's in that Fund Center, so we're not moving any contingency or anything from.
That's correct. We'd be using 22,000.
Okay,
so that leaves us funding to come back with for the supplemental.
Right. That'll leave some, but also. The BCB and EBC, we're going to continue to work with them and come back and assess that additional request that they both had made.
Correct.
Okay. And the Knorr Foundation as well.
And the Knorr Foundation. Okay. With that, I'll take a tentative motion to approve the Fund Center 106 contributions to other agencies.
So moved, as the amendments are suggested.
Second.
Okay. Then moved and seconded that we approve Fund Center 106 with the amendments that Mr. Buckshy.
Need a motion on that?
You need a motion on that?
No.
Do we need that?
I would
recommend
you take a motion on
that. So, want to make that?
Sure.
Mr. Hill, seconded by Mr.
Gibson.
All so those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.